I speak to you in God's holy name, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. This is a retaping of the sermon delivered this morning at All Saints in Agassiz. We had microphone problems. The book of Revelation talks to us about God. God being the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And we know from the beginning that God created the world and that God is within us and that God is the source of all hope. But we live in a world that has misguided the word hope, and we can classify it in two ways, extrinsic hope or intrinsic hope. And extrinsic hope means getting something from outside that God is going to give us, or somebody is going to give us something from beyond ourselves, and this is going to be the source of our salvation. The idea is that we need this. Intrinsic hope means it comes from within. That we as Christians are panentheists. The idea that God is within each of us and in all things. And God is present with us from the time of the creation, from the beginning, and will be with us to the end. And we know that God's Spirit resides within us, helping us to live our lives, helping us to have energy, connecting us with each other, connecting us with God. And it's this hope that allows us to live through whatever happens with a sense of well-being. Extrinsic hope, of course, affects all of us. We think about lottery tickets. We think about all kinds of outside sources. But for some people, they don't bother understanding that extrinsic hope is really not a strong foundation of hope. Let me give you an example through a joke. It's kind of sad, and I've told it before. There was this couple who are really strong believers, and it started to rain. Maybe it was the portents of climate change and the new rains that are coming. And the people started praying because things were starting to flood, and the water was rising, and the water was lapping on the front steps. And a boat came along, and the boatman said to the couple, "Hop in, leave your home. You better come now, because this flood, we don't know how bad it's going to get." And this couple were very religious people in a very literal, narrow sense. And they said, no, go away. We have always been faithful believers in God, and God will rescue us. So he's going to come. They were strong believers in extrinsic hope that God was going to magically come and transport them. So the boat went away. The rains kept coming and rising and rising. The water rose and rose and filled the downstairs. And they were forced to go upstairs. And they kept on praying, "God, please save us." And another boat came, this time a more powerful launch with lights and rescue equipment. And the person on the board the ship said, "Come on, the flood's going to go and your house is going to really fall apart. And you're going to drown." No. God is going to rescue us. We're not going to go with you because you're man-made. And we're not going with you. We're staying." And the rains continued and the boat went away. And finally they were forced up onto the roof. And they continued to pray, "God, please save us." And they were up on their roof. And all of a sudden this helicopter came. And a Sartec was dropped down to the roof. And he said, "Come on, let's go. I'll winch you up onto the helicopter and we'll get away from here and you'll be saved." No, God's going to save us, not you. We don't trust in human beings. God is going to save us." The guy said, "Well, you're sure?" "Yes, we want to stay here because God is going to save us. We have been faithful all our lives and God will never let us down." The Sartec said, "Well, okay, I've got other people who are desperate." So the helicopter went away and they drowned and they were in heaven and they met God and they said, "God, we're angry at you. We were faithful all our lives and the floods came and we knew you'd rescue us, but you didn't. You let us down. You're not God. You're something else and we're very disappointed in you." And God said, well, what do you want? I sent you a boat, then I sent you a rescue launch, and then I sent you a helicopter. It is funny, but it's also true. We expect extrinsic, magic answers sometimes when we turn to God. There are, in fact, seven pillars that block us from seeing hope from God. And this hope comes from our emotional framework. And there are seven pillars of our emotions that will often block us from understanding hope that lies within us and understanding the intrinsic nature of hope within us, for we get blinded to it. It's all based in the emotions. The first one is fear. We are afraid. Fear is important because it keeps us alive, but the fear can be overwhelming, and we're afraid to express our fear. And because we don't express our fear, it starts to control us rather than we controlling it. And as we get more afraid, we get more and more hopeless. And we're also afraid if we show our fear, we're going to be seen by others as being weak. It's brave to be emotional. It's brave to be honest. It's not weakness. The second pillar is disappointment. We think that disappointment is bad because we're not conforming to what our imaginary image is of who we should be, that we get disappointed. And so in our disappointment, because God doesn't conform to our wishes, or we get disappointed in the church, we get disappointed in the lotto ticket we've been buying because we have all these imaginary wishes, and we get disappointed, and then in our disappointment, we get hopeless. Remember the time when you were younger, that maybe in an older teenager and 16 or so, and you went to the dance and you stood along the wall and hoped that that guy would see you or that girl would see you and just magically come over and be with you because you prayed a lot about this. And of course, the person doesn't see you, doesn't come over, you don't dance, nothing happens. And you get disappointed, and out of disappointment comes disillusionment because our wishes weren't fulfilled and we expected a magic answer. The third pillar that blocks us from being hopeful is anger and frustration. We become self-righteous. My values are not being upheld by the universe. And so if my values aren't being upheld, things are all dark, and I can't stand this. Rather than seeing that values, we all have different values, and we have to learn to communicate and respect one another, we stand on this pillar of anger and frustration that our own values have not been met by somebody else. A fourth pillar is shame and guilt. Shame and guilt blind us to reality. They blind us to what's going on around us, and it prevents us from getting involved in positive change. Supposing we are always taking things personally. We think it's always my fault, and I'm ashamed, I'm guilty. It's my fault. Rather than that being an energy to start looking outwardly and changing some of our own behaviors, we just become hopeless, and we stay where we are, and we tread water instead of moving ahead. Shame and guilt is a force, an energy, an emotion that takes away our ability to live more fully. Another foundation of a block to hopelessness is sadness and despair. We become powerless in our sadness, and we are despairing that anyone will ever care, that anyone will ever listen, that I'll ever be any good, that I'll ever be a success. And we just sit in our pity pot, as it's called in recovery, and just stay there. And what we have to learn to do to overcome this comes from Buddhism, really, If you remember geometry that said that a straight line is a set of contiguous points, and as it pointed out today in the discussion, that point one is your day of birth and your last point on your life journey is the day you die. Well, in between the date of birth and the date of death are a whole bunch of points. And the points that happen in our straight line of life today are for today. And that yesterday is done. It's over with. And we need to move forward instead of keeping on looking backwards. We have to live right now, learn from our past, but move ahead. Not to be intimidated, not to be in sadness and despair and hypervigilant, but move ahead. The next foundation and pillar of blocks to hopefulness and the support of hopelessness is grief. We have to understand our losses, but loss doesn't mean that we don't have a future. A loss is a loss and it happened yesterday. And now we have today. We're still alive and we have to move forward. We can also have grief for the future. Anticipatory calamity, which often besets us when we think about climate change. But again, going back to the Buddhist way of thinking and working, we have the gift of God within us, and we have to work now to the best of our ability to overcome the problems that we have and move forward. We can't just sit there in our little sandbox and cry. We can't let this grief disempower us. We must keep moving forward. And the seventh pillar that supports hopelessness, and one that we must work through, is denial and apathy. Denial. This can't be happening. I can't be getting old. I've got to fight getting old. Well, to a point, that's okay. But a denial of reality is I have to look after myself. I have to lose weight. I have to take on a healthier lifestyle. I can't be in denial of who I am in reality. If I want to move forward and have a longer lifeline, then it's up to me, nobody else, to do anything about it. And apathy, where we just sit back and wait for some magical answer. Like in my opening little thought about the helicopter and the drowning person, we have to take advantage of what's offered to us now and be prepared to act and to act swiftly. We cannot allow ourselves to be overwhelmed and numb to the experience and blind to the seriousness of what's going on around us. We have to move forward. We have to make sure that we know that God lies within us and that we are overcome our own apprehension of doom. We will do the best we can with what we have, where we are. One of the sayings that I remind myself all the time that assists me, it's not the problem that's the problem, it's my response to the problem that is the problem. Am I going to respond in a hopeless way, or am I going to respond in a mature, hopeful way of using my abilities and gifts that God has given me to help solve the problem and move forward? Today, as we consider this, we're all invited to receive the Eucharist. And knowing that the love of God is there with us, and it's through the love of God instilled within us and God alive within us that we have hope. May we be the people of hope who know that hope lies within. May God bless us all. Amen.